Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo.
Yogg Mala, welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am so happy to be here to talk about Season 10, Do You Believe in Magic? My name is 8th Dan Stanadu, and I'll be your host, and I am joined by my good friends. Oh, Jack Hall, my good friend.
Sup, friend? I'm so glad to be talking about Spellcaster today, the film of the day. I hope I didn't let anything out of the bag, but I'm just excited because, let's face it, at this time last year we were talking about Santa with Muscles.
That is true, and this is an upgrade, I would suggest. And my other good friend, Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. How is this an upgrade?
Do you not remember Seriously? Santa with Muscles?
There he is, my next good friend, Jim Cotta.
My goal is to have as much to do in this podcast as Adam Ant had to do in Spellcaster.
Well,
so you're leaving now?
Yeah. Well, so you can put me on the poster and I'll be back for the last 5 minutes.
Yes, and the best part is it's that there's not even a song from Adamant on the soundtrack. Like, it didn't even go that far. It's like, ooh, look, it's a silhouette of not Adamant. And then Adamant shows up for 2 to 3 minutes of screen time at the end. But we get ahead of ourselves. We need Nick to summarize Spellcaster.
This one involves a group of what I assume teens. Everyone's entering a contest offered by the local rock television station, I'm assuming, or national rock television station.
It seems to be international.
Yes, oh. It's MTV.
Yeah, it's just okay. It's basically MTV, yeah.
MTV. Now, the prize
is... They don't call it MTV, but it's basically...
They invite you to a castle to hang out with a rock star and search for a handwritten check for $1 million. Is this the contest? Because that made no sense to me whatsoever.
I freaking love that. Yeah. that is the contest indeed. You
that and our two stars, our main leads, are brother and sister, and they both win the contest?
The odds of that, pretty astronomical, I'd say.
Okay. Sure. No, I'm just making sure because I'm watching this thing and I'm thinking this doesn't make any sense. I don't get the contest. I don't. Did they like combo their entry? Did they do something to like get both in?
I think it seems to be surprising and then never talked about again. It's just never important.
Okay. No. So everyone shows up at the castle. And they start searching for the check despite them talking about it being a television show, but nothing is filmed in this thing. They have people with cameras there, but, you know, they don't ever point them at the actual people searching for the check. That would be,
well, they get killed right away. Hard to blame them for that.
Okay. But no one seems to be really caring about it. And then, the teens start, I guess, dying, but getting their souls taken. Something happens to them, and one by one, they disappear and suffer horrible fates. there's some sort of seven deadly, because there's seven contestants, there's some sort of a seven deadly sins motif, but they don't all quite match up with the seven deadly sins.
Oh, I didn't get that at all.
I totally didn't.
Me either. Wow. I think you just made that up.
No, no. You had the pig guy with gluttony, and I think there was the lusty girl, and they were all sort of there, but it was so badly done that I can easily forgive.
No, I just think it's the one fat guy, and every girl is lusty.
Yeah, maybe that's the only
not the girl with the guns.
Maybe that's the only reason that those two are siblings or talked about as siblings is like just to establish from the beginning they're not going to bang. Like,
well,
that's
honestly, I didn't realize right off the top that they were siblings. I thought that they were boyfriend and girlfriend, and then he was being a scumbag. I thought, like, you know, checking out all the other women, and I'm like, dude, what the hell? But then it's just like, oh, siblings. Oh, now it still doesn't make sense, but it's better.
So the one character, the Italian murderer thief, which what was he? What was he? What sin was he? The rest of them?
I have no idea, to tell you the truth. As I said, I couldn't match them all up, but there were seven of them, and there seemed to be some sins going on there. And considering our spellcaster does reveal, spoiler, before the end, that he is indeed the devil.
Aren't we all?
At least devil-ish. Devil-ish, yeah. He's like heading back to he's heading back to hell with his harvesting of souls for some reason. apparently a shortage. Like, this seems like a lot of work if souls is really what you're trying to get.
But the character's name is Diablo. So
is it though?
Well, no, it's also Cyril Saint Michael.
No, but he is periodically referred to as Diablo.
Diablo, like with a V, but who knows? I mean,
it's pronounced, I think, at least three or four different ways.
Talked about him more than he appears in the movie.
that is actually completely true.
He's Diaboli at one point, too.
That sounds like a song, Diaboli, Diabola.
Yeah, he's called like some, they only talk about it in terms of he's the guy that owns the house, right? And then later on, they're like, they never use his name later. It's just, hey, he's Diablo.
The guy who owns the house who never, ever joins them for dinner.
Yeah, but it seems they start using his name as Diablo really early. Like, so I don't know when the Saint Hutchins or whatever.
Cyril Saint Michael.
Yeah, like, I don't remember when they actually use that.
I think that was when he became the VJ at the end in the twist. The twist ending. Yeah. After apparently getting killed, instead it just meant that he became the VJ. Because the VJ that was in this, who kept on saying he was a VJ, not a DJ, when people would say it, and he got really pissed. For some reason he dies. And when everybody dies, but everybody comes back to life except for the VJ. So that Diablo can become the VJ.
Well, that's MTV. The deal. That's the deal that our redeemed woman makes, is that she'll make him a VJ if she gives up.
That's right. The redeemed woman, the drunk pop singer who sold her soul in the first place to become rich and now regrets it. So she's killing herself with alcohol.
Our innocent star sold her soul.
Uh-huh.
And then the rock star is able. I could not understand this deal for the life of me.
do you want to run that? Do you want to run that by us again?
Yeah, I don't know what you just said.
The innocent girl sold her soul to get everybody back, right?
No.
And then the rock star stepped in and made another deal off screen. Yeah. So
sold her soul. That's how she became a rock star.
Yeah, the innocent girl, like our heroine, was going to sacrifice herself, but she didn't have to because the rock star stepped in the way and said, no, I'll go.
Yeah.
So she went because she was still there at the end.
Yeah, well, she gave up being a rock star. Like that, she, that was part of the cost, is that she's no longer a rock star at the end of it.
I got to be honest with you, Nick. I have no idea how I think I might have picked up some more of this movie than you. Considering about halfway through, I was so bored, I spaced out. For like the last half of this movie, I was in and out every 2 minutes.
That's the second time that's happened this season. You really should see someone about it.
It's so slow paced.
That's not a, like, that's not normal. I mean, you really should.
Oh, come on. If you're watching this movie, I think you have to zone out and just wait for like the creature effects, because they were fun.
It happens to men his age.
There's some creative effects. I like the chair that comes alive, and
the weird
magic monster thing that is totally out of place with all the other stuff. Like the monster that comes out of the painting.
Oh man, yeah, that was just kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to point out that the movie's called Spellcaster, but really no spellcaster exists. I mean, it's Diablo who's like the devil, but he's not really there's no real, you know what I mean? It's like there's no wizard or anything. So what you think of as a traditional spellcaster, instead you got a supernatural creature that's sort of casting spells, maybe, I don't know. I mean, he's got a crystal ball and he can see people in it. Does that count?
Come on. As soon as I saw Charles Band, I was casting a pretty broad net on the title.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Is this the first time we've had a Charles Band on?
Yeah, I think so. Though we must have had a blue
full moon.
Full moon. But well, now,
given that Tubi has an entire channel of Full Moon that has what, 500 movies on it or something like that. It's
crazy, like, about.
Of course, this is pre-full moon or blue or yeah. Full Moon. Yeah, this is pre-Full Moon. This was his company before. That's why this movie didn't get released till like 1992, because the company, this was made in 86, but the first company that he owned went out of business in 88 before they had released this. So it sat on the shelves for years until everybody remembered, hey, Adam Ant, he's such a big star in 1992. Let's release this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely striking while the iron's hot to release an Adam Ant project.
Well, I mean, you'd do way worse now.
I suppose. Yeah. You know what? He's got 52 acting credits, though.
Really?
Yeah, including fairly recent ones. Like not just music videos, but he's done quite a few acting and a lot of voice work. So he's still actually active as that.
You got to watch that IMDb listings, because they've added music videos to the movies list. So you gotta keep it. When it says video short, that's actually just a music video.
Yeah, but it's not just that. Like I say, he's got quite a few roles that are, you know, Sweetwater in 1999, and then Adam Ant Cool Zombie video short in 2012. See what I mean? Very active.
Yeah, you really set me straight there.
That's right. And Jim, that was a smackdown.
That's why you're in charge of trivia, Jack.
There you go. There's not much trivia on this film. I've given it all to
like
you.
Like an encyclopedia.
Well, it's like the Cassandra character played by Bunty Bailey, and she's best known for being the girl in the Aha video. So it's just like,
oh really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's her.
And again, when I say best known, I truly mean best known. Like
it
she's
is,
still
is the number one movie of the 1980s, or number one music video of the 1980s.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't she date the lead singer?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was reading about her, and it said that, that like she appeared on some British game show as herself, of course, and the answer to the question was being in the Aha music videos. So it's just like, yeah, you go.
What's my line kind of thing?
Some of the people in this have actually had fairly good. Well, Gail O'Grady, probably the best. The one that we talk about is the sister, female lead. She's had a pretty good career. She was on NYPD Blue and got a Primetime Emmy Award nomination 3 times. And she had a pretty good career. So, it's the cast isn't terrible. They're terrible in the movie, but as far as
that's completely unfair. They were given nothing to work with.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Yep.
I mean, if it's not on the page, they can't act their way out of it. I mean,
what about that sleeper bag? What do you say?
Well, I don't know. the direction for the fat guy was, you're the fat guy. You always want to eat.
Well, that's the whole movie, pretty much. Yeah. I'm not sure what the script was. How long was this one? Jim, you're the...
83 minutes.
83 minutes. So how much script do you think they had?
And it only felt like 93. So, you know, not as bad as some.
I did, like I say, the last, like, I was enjoying it pretty good, but it's really slow paced. So it gets to the point where you're just like sitting there in between the, waiting for some cool special effects. And really the first one happens, which we mentioned is the chair, the person eaten by the chair when they're sitting in it, which is pretty cool. And then there's nothing at that level for the rest of the movie. That was Tracy Lynde, who actually also had a pretty good career, including starring in, the My Boyfriend's Back, the zombie movie. Remember that one, guys?
Mm-hmm.
And The Road to Wellville.
I have to say, my persistent thought throughout this entire movie, it was, shouldn't there be boobs in this?
It feels like it's on the edge of giving you boobs.
It is. Very close, very close. Yeah.
Very close, but not, yeah. No deliverance.
Not close enough, unfortunately. No. Yeah.
I think the most impressive part of this film is how prescient it is in predicting what reality television was going to be like.
Mm, that's true.
Like this is like it made in 1988, and basically it's Big Brother.
Yep. Like
15 years early.
Except for Big Brother doesn't go running around trying to find a check for $1 million that hidden somewhere in a deep in a castle.
It is it's a really weird MacGuffin, honestly. Like it's because it's a piece, as Nick said, it's a piece of paper. Like it's just
yeah.
It's not a cartoon. It's not like, you know, the novelty size check. It's not like a special box. Like it's not a thing we're looking for. It's literally like the size of a bookmark. Well,
and it's like the thing is it's like a piece of paper in this massive castle that could be hid anywhere, pretty much.
Yeah, but where did they hide it? In the rock star's boobs?
Well, yes.
That's the thing. Yeah. They never actually hide it. Like, they pretend to hide it, which means, like, again, the MacGuffin isn't really ever in play.
Especially
it's only
since everyone, I think, in the movie at one point sees the jack, but it, like, blows away or something. And nobody ever mentions, hey, you might not want to, you know, look in every book in the library. It's just blowing around here.
No, they don't see it until after that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, when the check is getting blown around, that's the point where I'm just like, do you not realize something else is going on here with the fact that the check is just magically blowing around?
Or maybe get a better grip on it?
Yeah, yeah, that's
and right. People are just disappearing all over the place.
Well, the first one has an excuse.
What's that?
The first one has an explanation.
Okay, well, no, the two people, this is 1986, so there you got the producer who does have a handheld camera and is filming people,
yeah.
But she has a film crew, so she says to them, hey, we could really use some high def here,
yeah,
so
wow.
Go get a high def camera, go to town and rent a high def camera. And they're like, what if we can't find one in town? She's like, come on, guys, go to town and get
go
a
to
high
London.
Def camera.
She said, go to London.
London, whatever. Yes. Rome. So they go to London. Oh,
they're in Italy. Oh, that would be a really long drive.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them. But.
So, yeah, the point being, she's like, go get a high-def camera so they can be shown on all those high-def 1986 TVs. And so anyways, they disappear. They never show up, and nobody worries about it at all because they get killed right away. So you don't have to be near the castle in order for him to the Diablo to be able to kill you, which makes you wonder why he bothered to bring people in the first place.
I love how they're killed, though. That, you know, they're in the car breaks down as they're driving back. And then they can't get it started, and then the doors are locked, and then they're like, oh, how can this get worse? And the car explodes.
It's yes.
just magic explosion. Like that, you know, that traditional supernatural death of a giant car explosion.
Yes. And the thing is, that's your first introduction to the supernatural magic of Diablo in this is that he can stare in his crystal ball and blow you the fuck up from wherever the hell you are. And it's just yeah. I mean, Jack, you're absolutely right. Like, why does he need to bring people to the house? Because he wants to be like Willy fucking Wonka or something like that.
That was my first thought. That's like the first note. The second note I have written down is this is basically Willy Wonka and the Charlie and the Taco Factory. This is like you get your magic ticket and you get to go to the spellcaster.
That's true, actually. But you know, I do suppose there is the possibility that he didn't get those guys' souls because he just killed them out there. Like, that's the only explanation I can think of that for why he'd want them. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Willy Wonka, you're not the first person to say that. That's what some of the reviews were saying back in the you know, when it came out, too. So,
I mean, yeah, it's impressive. Like, it's an odd movie. Like, it's so MTV music video. And it's like that combined with several different types of horror movies and just all jumbled together with the new wave soundtrack. And as the cherry on top.
Two, maybe three songs. And I hope you like them because you're going to hear them many times.
It's not repetition. It's staying on message.
I mean, Adam Ant is a new wave post-punk, you know, legend. I mean, as much as we're saying he's not as, you know, in demand as he once was, or even by the 90s, I mean, he really is. But yeah, I mean, he was, I don't know why this project came to him. Cause you know, he clearly did not want to do music. Yet there's the clear music tie-in. He does have more charisma than anybody else in the movie though.
Probably just taking whatever came up and, whatever would pay.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
the check cleared.
Should we? That reminds me of our next movie.
All right. we're heading right into scoring here.
I think we're good to me.
Yeah.
We've teased all the nuance out of the plot of the film. It's time to get into the drill down in the nitty gritty. All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in 5 categories. None of these categories are objective quality. The first category is called Schlock Appeal, and as always, we start with Stan.
There's some moments in here where it definitely has some schlocky feel. There's also some moments where, as Jack was saying, that you know it's kind of boring, and I think that those kind of things hurt it. It's difficult because this is not a movie that I would have probably chosen to watch on my own without the show. So As I watch it, I'm like, this is really not necessarily what I was expecting. I was hoping for a little more overt magic, and I was certainly hoping for more Adam Ant. But all in
any
all,
any magic and any Adam Ant. Yeah,
that is totally fair. So overall, I think what I'm going to give it is a 5 because it doesn't skew one way or the other. It's really down the middle.
I agree. Entirely, well, almost entirely, I would naturally click on this eventually, just because it was an Empire Studios film. Charles Band was involved, but I have to say it would probably be the last one or second to last one I'd ever watch of the Full Moon, Charles Band, Empire. There's not a lot to like grab yet. The schlock is low on this one. I'm only going with a 4.
Wow. You know what? See, I guess we interpret things differently. I mean, Charles Band really, other than producing and his executive producer and going, I have a castle if you guys want to use it, really had nothing to do with this movie. Like, that was literally it. He had the castle. He had nothing to do with it otherwise. But, you know, it's his production company. But I actually think this is the strongest category for this film. I'm giving it an 8. I mean, this film is just filled with all those schlocky. There's constant, like, they're in the castle and you're constantly hearing like wolves howling for no reason. And there's cats, constant meowing of cats. Not one cat ever shows up on camera anywhere running around. And yet it's this constant meowing, meow, meow, like for no reason, constantly. Like, is this that type of schlocky, All these cliches that to me, that was its strongest thing.
Yeah, I also thought it was stronger in this category. It's I think that it's in a castle gives it that like Hammer horror feel, and I always like when I can just quickly pitch a movie as it's a magic thing with Adam Ant in it. And what's strange to me is we all know Adam Ant, we all know what he does and why he's famous, but I don't remember any specific song.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, the Adam Ant's big hit goody, comes goody, right to shoes. Me.
That's the goody two shoes. That's the. Come on, you know that song.
I know that song, yeah. But I, like I said, it didn't immediately jump to mind. And I
really,
and I don't know that I knew it was Adam Ant. Like I know that's I very much know that song, but not. But I don't think I knew it was Adam Ant. 7 for me in this category. I also love the posters for this are great. Just giant Adam Ant head looking at scantily clad women in a. This crystal ball is pretty awesome.
Hmm. Really doesn't deliver on any account, does it, from the poster?
one of the many design the posters and then film the movie kind of things.
Yeah.
The next category is called More Heart Than Budget, and I haven't come across a budget.
No, it's not much. I couldn't find one either. I was looking. It's like I say, there's not a ton of trivia on this thing. That's what happens when it sits for like 6 years between production and release.
Mm. Well, I think that, you know, it's interesting because when I look at More Heart Than Budget and I look at the director, I look at Rafał Zelinski and I think about, you know, the movies of his that I've enjoyed. I'll leave State Park out of that. But like all the like Screwballs and Loose Screws and those kind of things. And I think about it. And I think, man, they were just chock full of perfect things and boobies. And
which is the perfect thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like partway through his career, maybe he found Jesus or something, because State Park also should have had boobies and like
totally did.
It looks like they were added later.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah,
and not much.
Yeah.
And I so boobies. So, you know, when I look at this, I'm like, it should be the right director to pull out all the good stuff that you want in a movie like this, and yet it's not there. It's just like a silly MTV romp, and so it's kind of like, oh, okay, you know, I really feel like they left a lot on the table in so many ways in this case, so I can only give it a 4.
I got the feeling that nobody didn't want to be there other than Adam Ant. Everyone, they were completely happy. They believed they were shooting a movie of some sort. I believe, you know, they were all enjoying the holiday. Well, they were
the shooting
holiday.
A movie of some sort.
That is a weird way to put that.
They had the run of a castle. They thought, you know, somebody else will fix it in post, and it wasn't fixed in post. So, unlike probably our next movie, I think, you know, everyone was fairly happy. So I'll go up to a 7.
I'm not quite as high, but I'm closer to that. I got a 6 on this one. I mean, they managed to do there wasn't a lot of special effects, but they did manage to do the one really good one. And, you know, they had the explosion. Like there's no point where I felt like the budget is holding them back from, even though it's not a big budget, from doing what they want to do. I do not feel that anybody was terribly inspired working on the film. Everybody looked like they're going through the paces, but I'll give it a 6.
I'm going to do all those things, but I give it a 7 for the craft services of having an entire pig. Mm. I've looked into the price of that. It's not a cheap thing to do. And, you know,
in Rome.
Yeah. Did you look at the price in Rome?
Unless you're priced out in Lira. You have got no basis.
I think both of those were good points. and really hear either one of them. I heard the word lira. so 7 for me. And those, I do like the idea of, like, you know, you've got a castle, use the whole castle. They're up on the, it's weird that the stuff inside the castle is such a different aesthetic than when they're outside the castle. It's really run down. And it looks really kind of well kept up when they're in the inside. Because when the guy runs off the ramparts, it's like falls off the ramparts. It looks pretty disused. Looks like an abandoned relic kind of thing. And then inside, very, very well mannered. All right. What the fuck moments?
Now, there's a few things that I noted here that I just found really, really odd. Of course, we talked about the magical power to make a car blow up, because that just seems so out of place that it's just like, oh, boom, the car blows up, that's it. One of the weirdest things is so as everybody arrives, so almost everybody pulls up in a limousine. They've pulled up with Cassandra in the limousine. You know, they're gawking at her. She's completely pissed drunk and belligerent to them all, which, so of course, you know, typical rock star of the 90s, 80s, 90s. And so, meanwhile, our heroes, they get stuck somewhere and have to, I think, walk the way, most of the way. But the weirdest thing that I found is that he went to Italy and won a contest and brought his skateboard along with him and did nothing with that skateboard. He showed up with the skateboard and it did not play a factor at all in the rest of the movie. It was just like,
I think those were all his worldly possessions. Him and his sister were.
Yeah, and that is very possible. But, you know, you would think that they could have done something other than just like, did they think it was a good prop, like handing him a skateboard and say, yeah, this is it, man. This is you. This is
that's
you.
In 1986, that's how you connect to the young crowd.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was an odd choice. And then, honestly, when it came up, the monster, the lion monster in the chair, it's one thing when it starts coming to life and you see it, and I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty well done. But then there's the parts where it cuts away and its paws are groping at her boobs. And I'm like, that right there is where it just went into the what the fuck category. So, you know, there's definitely some things. It's not chock-a-block, but I'll go with a 6.
Yeah, I'm going with 6 for a little bit of a different reason. Just because this movie should have been so much shorter. If any two characters actually spoke to each other, instead of getting bogged down with their own crap. I mean, the girl with the guns, all she wants to talk about is hunting for no apparent reason, because she's won a contest and doesn't seem to care about the $1 million at all. I mean, hell, you know, somebody should have said, you know, you just killed a pig indoors. There's something going on here. No, she goes hunting for another pig immediately. Like, I'm going to go check there. I got to kill a pig. There's got to be another one around here. No, somebody should have clued in and ran like way faster than anybody. But no, everyone's just stuck around and sort of, but not really searching for the check. The fat guy never even, I don't think the fat guy knew there was a contest, because he never.
He just, I don't think he cared. He was just there for the food.
Yeah.
But motivations are all over the place in this movie.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. I gave a score. I'm done.
Okay. I wasn't sure. No, I mean, look, it's as far as like a single moment, to me, the moment where okay, let's talk about the Italian thief. Murderous thief, lecherous thief character. So he shows up, is introduced to everybody. Everybody's gathering, except for the brother and sister who are late for no reason that I can figure out. He shows up he has a stolen Ferrari. He shows up, everybody thinks he's a playboy because he's a Ferrari. Turns out it's stolen. The police are right after him. They figured out with the police. Apparently they buy it, so I guess he stole it from a car lot or something. and then they complain at him that he's already cost them all this money. I'm like, dude, who would keep this guy on the show? So like, you have this odd introduction to this character, who's like I say, he literally. I mean, he pulls a knife on somebody, threatening them, looking for the money, and he's constantly groping at, especially the sister character, and he dies because he's on top of the castle. He's looking over it forward. And then you cut to him looking over it forward. on in a crystal ball, and then Adamant's character, because it's clearly not Adamant, but the character that we've not seen at this point, just bops it like it's the top of a head. Like we're playing like it's like
whack-a-mole
here. Just bump. And then all of a sudden the character is facing backwards and falling like he's flipped around for no reason. He falls backwards to his death. Nobody, of course, leaves the castle to see this. It's just like a crazy death. But also to me, just the fact, very rarely, I mean, we've seen a lot of films that aren't particularly well-written when doing the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, but very rarely have I seen a film that I thought where they just put less effort into developing the characters. Literally, these are the characters. You got the fat guy whose whole only role is that he's fat. Like, he's sitting there, like, the whole movie, he's sitting there going, no, I'm hungry, you should find some food. Like, that's it. That's his whole role. Literally. Then you have the lecherous, murderous thief character. So then let's get to the women. You have the drunk rock star character who's a bitch. You got the defensive, somewhat slutty French character who's a bitch. You got the British character who, because she's British and she's a stuck-up snob and a bitch, and you got the female American character who's like a party girl, aerobophobic, cock tease, and a bitch. That's the characters in this thing. Like, somebody hates women. So I got a 6.
I love that crystal ball bit. That was one of my, that was one of the moments that really stood out for me. I love when the police show up. When someone says, it's the police, but I don't see Sting. Just a good, really great line. We didn't even mention that this movie starts with a 2-minute new wave music video.
Oh yes, that is
that for some reason
point.
Is shot in the castle that they're later going to
coming next.
which is in the castle that we're that we haven't actually gotten to yet, you mentioned the rock star is also a drunk. One of the moment that really stood out is that someone pours out her bottle of vodka, and then as soon as he leaves the room, she's down on all fours licking it up.
Well, I mean, that's not abnormal. that shit's happened, man.
Hasselhoff, anybody?
Thankfully, she just walks it off after that.
Yeah.
she's a DT's having drunk up, and then she meets the right guy.
Yes.
And all sorts out. 7 for me on this. I think the whole premise is pretty wacky. Memorable moments.
Memorable moments. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. This is another one of those cases where, as we talk about it, I realize that things are starting to come back, but I forgot which movie we were supposed to be talking about. I didn't remember half an hour ago. It was just like, oh yeah, that's right, we're talking about Spellcaster. I think that I'm going to remember that it, and I'll use the wonderful air quotes on the podcast, but that it had Adamant in it, for all of 10 seconds, because it's just such a classic example of the box overpromising on a movie. some of the stuff that shows up is pretty memorable, but if you ask me in like 6 months to kind of pull out the story, I'll probably remember that there was some kind of contest, there was a check, and Adamant was in the last 2 minutes, and that's about it. So I'm gonna go with a 5.
Wow, that for me that sounds way high. way, way high, because I mean the special effects are memorable, but because they're owned by Charles Band, I'm pretty sure I've seen those same effects, that same footage in other Full Moon Studios films. Other than that, we got a generic title, so I'm only going with a 3.
Ooh. Well, I think the chair eating scene is very memorable. I will remember that. The opening video, I actually liked the song, and it really did look like it could have been on MTV mm-hmm. in the mid-80s. Like, I thought they did a good job of emulating that. And you know, of course, you say it was 2 minutes, but it was probably closer to like five, and then continued to play for the next, for no reason, for like the next eight. But I did enjoy that one. And then my big thing for me is probably it did have one line, like, I've told this joke, I'd forgotten this joke, I'd heard it years ago and I'd forgotten it, and I've told it probably to like a dozen people since watching this movie, the one where it's, you hear how about Minnie and Mickey are getting a divorce. first they thought it was because everybody was saying that Mickey said that it's because she's crazy, but he sent out a release with his press agent to clarify that it's because she's fucking goofy. I love that joke. So, four.
I think the chair thing is going to come back for me, and the pig transformation scene is really well done. When the fat guy, whose motivation is to maintain or grow his fatness, eats the giant's suckling pig, he turns into a pig. But they do like a American Werewolf in London style transformation for him that I really dug. Six for me on this one.
That guy also plays the fat guy in that private school movie.
See, I was going to give it a seven, but once Nick mentioned the title thing, I'm like, yeah, I've forgotten that title like eight times. I keep thinking it's Sorcerer. Crazy concept.
Crazy concept. Well, you know, being that it is like an MTV generation, not quite like, not a slasher movie, not a, you know, it's got its elements of horror. It's really kind of a mashup, but in a weird way. So to me, I think it's crazy because I actually don't know how I would explain this movie, other than Adam Ant is in this movie and barely. So overall, I'm going to have to go with a seven.
Wow. Again, you're going way high for me.
Well, that's not really, no, you know, a change.
This movie happens when you say, okay, we got Adam Ant for 2 days and a castle for 10. Make the movie.
Still, true. Honestly, though, that still gives me a seven. When you say, I've got a castle for 10 days, and I had a map for 2.
My math makes it a five.
I'm not even that high. Like, I literally am sitting there going, yeah, Willy Wonka in the factory. Or more to me, it's like, the devil lures some people into a castle who can steal their soul. Like, that's the whole movie. Like, it's, or the fact that, and the title doesn't, there's no spellcaster. The title has nothing to do with it. It's just like very, I don't know. Like we mentioned, I don't know if there was an actual script. It's kind of a lazy effort in all this to me. I'm sorry. I'm only giving it a three.
Heavily disagree. This movie completely predicts what reality television would be like, including exactly how violent and rapey it would be. and how inappropriate people would behave. It saw all of that coming. More than a decade before Survivor and Big Brother. So 8 for me on this. All right, that brings us to the end of balloting. And each season we have 6 secret modifiers. This movie does have 2 of them. Unfortunately, they're both negatives. It does have, I give it the tacked on magic negative for not really? Actually having spells cast by the spellcaster. And I will give you that the devil is a supernatural figure and not a magic figure, which gives it a -1 for that's supernatural. So that's the pedantic modifier. So that does still give it a pretty respectable 55 out of 100, which puts it just half a point back from Skidoo and ahead of Son of Kong on the Octagon.
Nice.
Yep. Seems pretty reasonable to me, I think.
Thank goodness. I don't know what we'd do if we had one that didn't sound reasonable.
It would be bad. You know,
the appeals process is complicated.
I mean,
Of curiosity, can you just look up what Santa with muscles got?
45.5, so well ahead.
See?
Well ahead of Santa.
Yeah, so I mean, you nailed it, Jack. Better than Santa with muscles. So. All right, now the next question is, will Dungeons & Dragons also be better than Santa with Muscles? Because Dungeons & Dragons is what we are talking about next episode. So get your hip waders on, because we're wading into it next episode. What do you think, guys? Should we do some business?
All right.
I've been waiting to get to that episode for a while. Let's hurry it up.
Please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube. We are also on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And you can visit our podcast sponsors, WeTalkPodcasts.com, and also WeTalkPodcasts on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay. Well, that's super cool. Season 10 carries on next episode. We're on the back half, the back nine, so to speak, of if using golf parlance. So
if we could and we shouldn't.
talk about throwing numbers around, that's gonna throw people off, where it's just like we do 8 movies, but we're on the back nine. How does that happen? But season 10, Do You Believe in Magic, carries on. Dungeons and Dragons is in the next episode. Things don't get better for us, so it's okay.
No, they do not.
I think it's time to head on out of here. What do you say, guys? Yes. You couldn't agree more.
I really want to talk about continuity or the movie. So
okay, yes.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so for Jim and for Jack and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
Hey, Rock TV is at home. We're on location in Italy at the castle of Signor Diaboli, and what a turn of events! One of our contestants, Yvette, has had to drop out due to unforeseen family emergencies. But that's good news for our remaining lucky 6, because they now have a better chance at that $1 million.
Something very strange is going on here. This place is dangerous.
Signor Diabolo, welcome to...
Is this a video or something?
No, it's real life. Real death.